Welcome to our podcast. I'm Rhonda Bernard.
And I'm Toni McClintock.
Our podcast, All About Teams, is about all kinds of teams. Teams at work, teams at school, and we think even family should be considered a team. And we really hope your family is your team. We are Americans who live in Paris, and boy, do we understand the challenges that can bring to a team.
And we also do a lot of work with the younger generations, mostly Generation Z, or Gen Z, in our Future Professionals series of workshops. So we have come to really understand younger generations, and we appreciate what they can bring to the table. Rhonda and I have a lot of love for these young people, and we know that as they join teams in the workplace, that these multi-generational teams are abuzz with all the differences and how to deal with all the issues.
There is a big buzz, a buzz around them and about them. And having all the different generations in the workplace has created a treasure trove of stories and a few conflicts. And we want to hear all of these stories and share our own. We love to have guests come on and share their stories. And we always look for the humor, because Toni and I love to laugh, and the humanity in everything we talk about.
And we'd love to hear your story. So let's get started. Today we have a special guest, Ali Bouffard, who's right in the middle of the Gen Z generation at 19 years old. We did a podcast with Ali's mom, Caroline Bouffard of A-Plus College Coaching, about her experiences with Gen Zs, since she works mainly with Gen Z doing college counseling. And since that was our most popular podcast, we realized that this subject is something people are really interested in right now.
Ali, who listened to the episode, said, oh, wow, I really want to make comments about it. I really want to say kind of my side of the story. And so when she told us that, we're like, hey, come on to the podcast. We'd love to hear what you have to say. And, you know, just another thing that's kind of maybe just by the side, Gen Z loves to challenge the older generation in so many ways.
Some good and some bad.
Yep. Anyway, Ali, we're so happy you volunteered to join us.
Thank you so much. Hi, Rhonda. Hi, Toni. Hi, everyone.
Oh, so Ali, we've given you the floor. Is there anything that you'd like to start with?
Sure. So like you said, having listened to the first episode, I definitely had a lot of thoughts. Also about some things that my mom said about me. But especially, I feel like you guys touched on so many different particular characteristics of Gen Z, but that I wanted to come stress how interconnected I think they are. Because I think that today, Gen Z needs to be understood in a kind of a holistic and global context, because they're kind of world-altering facts like technology, globalization, climate change, like political polarization, all these things that need to be taken into account when understanding that they make Gen Z who we are today.
Ali, wow. Honestly, just that answer alone makes Gen Z and you unique. I know for a fact that when I was growing up, and even when I was a young adult, my world was so much smaller. And, you know, my dad was in the Army. I was an Army brat. Like I moved around to different countries and everything, but everything was still smaller. My concerns were way more centered around finding a job, fitting in, cute boys, you know, making rent, all of that kind of stuff. And even, you know, even though I considered myself engaged politically and I would tell people I was a humanist, I know, super cringe, but I did. It's true. It's still very local and definitely vague. I really had no idea what I was talking about. I didn't have a lot of access to different forms of information. Toni, what, you know, you could relate to that, I bet.
Yeah, definitely. I felt the same. Much smaller world.
You know, after doing some work, Toni and I did a lot of research, and there was this report from The Guardian that talked to a bunch of Gen Zs in Europe. And a few of the things that they said echoed really what you said. They said, we recognize an issue in one place is an issue everywhere. And another one said, we will take up some of the most powerful roles out there. And wow. We need to be seriously better than the generations before us. Again, I never thought that. No. Never occurred to me. And this is what really got me. At the same time, they said they felt really ignored, pushed to the back of the line, and not taken seriously, a generation that people will deal with later.
Yeah. And that Gen Z has been told for pretty much as long as we can remember that we have to be the generation to solve all these problems, especially climate change. So I think that Gen Z's kind of been burdened with this like global responsibility since a young age. So to me, it's kind of a no-brainer that that's all we're trying to fight for. And I also think this becomes a cycle when then Gen Z is like becomes more politically active and is fulfilling this activist role. But then again, you're right that there's an overwhelming amount of discourse that is pushing Gen Z to the back of the line. And often they're dismissing our ability to be political and often blaming it on like being young.
Well, why do you feel like that?
Well, I think that people feel like the older generations feel threatened or blamed because whether it comes to like race, gender, or climate change, we're telling them that the way they've been doing everything is wrong.
Well, it's very true that your generation is the most diverse generation across the board than any of us older generations, right? And just by existing, you're shaking up the status quo. And that really can be disturbing. Humans have a tendency to try to box in the threat, and that can be done by saying dismissive words like "you're so young," but it does prevent us from connecting.
And honestly, that's not what your generation wants. Even just hearing you right now, Allie, I realize like that's not what you want. And I just had a conversation the other day with a slightly older Gen Z, and she told me that she feels like her generation, your generation, is dying for mentorship. Like they really crave it. And but they're so afraid of going up to people outside of their generation because they're so afraid of all the judgment that they'll get. And they get a lot of judgment. You know, because I said to her, you know, a lot of people hate your generation. She goes like, yeah, tell me about it. What do you think about that,
I'll definitely echo that sentiment. But it's true that I definitely think we crave mentorship. And I think there's a certain divide between our generations where, like I said, we might feel a bit dismissed and that we don't get mentorship because we're not good enough. I know that I really had the luck to have really great mentors in high school that I still find myself contacting today. But part of it was because I was going after things that felt legitimate enough to talk about. So I think that the environment that I was in, whether it was in Paris or now at university, were both quite competitive, and that Gen Z sees mentorship as something that's reserved for the few who have like deserved it somehow.
We hear that word deserved a lot from people in your generation, often that you don't deserve it or that you need to deserve it. Rhonda and I have issues with this word. It's really a tough word to consider.
It drives me crazy, or that I deserve this. Ugh.
Yeah, because really bad things happen to people that no one deserves. And sometimes great things happen to people who really do deserve it. So it's a tough word. But first, I want to say that everyone should be heard, encouraged, and mentored, and that everything that you have to say is legitimate if it's important to you. Remote work has definitely hurt your generation the most, and the statistics bear it out because you're not getting the informal mentoring that happens in the workplace, which could make a big difference to your careers. And next, not to scare you, Allie, but studies are showing that employers are finding that Gen Z has not been adequately prepared for the workplace. This is not hard skills that they're talking about, like programming or writing skills, but more like soft skills, also called life skills, like teamwork and dependability and organizational skills. And also, Gen Z seems to have trouble with problem solving and effective communication skills.
Yeah, and you know, some say it's our fault, the parents. And I mean, I live with that guilt too, that I've done too much for this generation, for my kids, when you're at home, even when you're not at home, so you aren't confident to deal with things on your own, or that I haven't done enough, I haven't been present enough. Some say it's the fault of the schools because they don't find these life skills important enough to teach. Or they just don't have the time or budget to teach it because they're, you know, they're pushing everybody towards those standardized testing so that they can be the best. I don't know. I struggle with this one. What do you think about it?
Yeah, did you have any life skills in school courses like in school?
Well, I do think it really depends on the education you receive because I mean, for me, I think that skills that you mentioned, like problem solving, time management, and critical thinking, were all integrated into my education. But also probably because these are skills that are seen as productive, things that are relevant to academics versus communication or, you know, teamwork might be kind of less valued. And it wasn't ever through like dedicated classes or anything, but it was really just kind of necessary elements that you had to bring into various subjects or assignments.
Yeah. And those are also important, very important skills. But it sounds like you didn't get any classes on communication or how to work with different people and confidence, which is a big thing. And those are all things that reflect some of what you said about needing to feel you have a legitimate reason to speak up or deserve to be mentored. So let's break that down and talk a little bit about confidence, for example.
Yeah, Ali, do you think, you know, that your generation struggles with imposter syndrome? I mean, by the way, it's not just only your generation, but it just sounds like there's a lot of imposter syndrome feelings out there.
Yeah, I think, of course, we have to generalize a little bit, but I think my generation often struggles with imposter syndrome. Especially in the circles I run in, it happens so often that I hear my friends like devalue their own merit or worth. And I think it comes from multiple things. I think that first of all, there's like a growing culture surrounding elite universities and academia. Mm-hmm. That like people feel like there are only like 10 good schools in the world and that they then get like idolized. And so like through social media, people get obsessed with them, and of course people are going to compare themselves also on social media, and then no one feels legitimate to have access to something that's been so idolized. I also think that because education has been so democratized, which is obviously a good thing, but that there are also so many controversies, for example, about affirmative action or university admissions in general, that then admission feels more and more arbitrary. So of course, when you do get in, you can't help but think that there are other people who would have deserved it too, if not more.
There's that word, deserved.
There it is again. Yeah. Do you think that your generation is insecure because of social media?
Definitely. I think social media has and is still having a huge impact on self-perception and self-esteem. I mean, just look at Instagram and the beauty standards of perfection that are like constantly advertised.
Right.
But I also think that Gen Z, as opposed to even other generations, is more aware of how fake social media can be.
Be real, be real.
Exactly. Because like we grew up with it. And I think I see more and more videos where they're debunking like Photoshop, filters, makeup, and basically just online appearances. But then again, of course, it's hard to like emotionally take a step back when you're feeling insecure, because those are feelings. But I think we're also making strides in trying to rationalize them and learning not to compare ourselves to what we see on social media.
Yeah. So I just want to, you know, so all of that, it really hits me hard. I'm going to tell you that. And, you know, also, I know that there's this huge loneliness epidemic in the world. You know, the American Surgeon General came out saying that it is an actual for him pandemic in the United States, loneliness. And I think about that. And the loneliest generation in the world today is your generation, Ali, the Gen Zs. And of your generation, it hits the boys the hardest. They're having the hardest time to find sincere relationships. And if we go back to the study from The Guardian that I mentioned earlier, here's some more quotes. My mental health has roller coastered. I mean, at one time you gotta admire them because they're talking about it. But roller coaster, nobody wants to go on that ride. And then here's another quote. A lot of young people my age spend their lives on the internet while missing out on real human interaction. And this one really hit me as a woman. I have a lot of problems with body image. Like if it's starting so young, what chance, you know, when does it get better?
Yeah, that really doesn't surprise me, because I think growing up behind a screen can be quite isolating.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And I mean, it can also be argued that, like you said, the quality of our relationships has been diluted because so much of it happens digitally. Like, it's not like you go out with your friends until the streetlights come on anymore, you know?
Oh yeah, like yes, yeah, you remember that from, but that was such, you know what? I wish now I had understood how magical that was.
Right. Maybe we felt powerful that we could be out, alone.
Yeah.
It was a very common thing with Gen X, play till the streetlights come on. But
Yeah.
also, I think we maybe just felt like a little uncared for.
I mean, no, because we had our friends, you know,
Yeah.
that were hanging out with us physically.
Yeah, it's
Yeah,
funny
but
that
I
that
think.
has such an impression on this Gen Z. My kids say the
Yeah.
same thing.
Yeah, because I think it's so different digitally. Like, my friends always say that I text in a very cold way because, like, most of our, I mean, some of my friends now are like halfway across the world and we only talk digitally. And that I text in a very cold way, and that they've had to learn that I don't intend to be like mean or cold when I literally just text back, like, okay, or like, sounds good, versus I know that they would never think such a thing in person. And it's maybe because I don't add like a million emojis either.
Right. You're
Yeah, but
the
it, yeah. So Tony and I actually, so I think emojis are cute, but they don't replace emotions. Whereas Tony,
Yeah, I like emojis, but I think that the emoji generation is great. It's great to have them, but it's troublesome because it
that's
doesn't
it.
replace real emotions, and it's cause of all this misunderstanding.
Yeah,
Yeah, I think
like
that.
having to have them.
Yeah, and I think that being removed from real life, whether it's, you know, through emojis or not, just can definitely lead to feelings of loneliness, especially when we consider what we were just saying about like social media and insecurity. Because when all you see on social media is like pages and pages of perfect looking bodies and lives, you can't help but feel like you're an imperfect minority, you know?
Yeah, I think that
Yeah.
the perfect lives makes even more of a statement now, because the other thing is kind of being debunked, but the perfect lives thing is still a huge part of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But people forget that it's curated. You get to choose what you put out there, and most people only put the good stuff.
Right.
Yeah. And that's why, I mean, I remember how devastating it used to feel like when I was younger, when you like saw on social media that people, whether it was like your friends or not, were hanging out without you. And of course, you're looking at it on like through your phone alone in your bed. So, of course, like social media plays a huge role, in my opinion, in Gen Z's loneliness.
Yeah, you
Yeah.
know, and also I mentioned this before that this young Gen Zer that I know, he found out his friend group broke up with him because he started noticing that they were always going out and he was never and posting on Instagram like vacations, outings, etc. And he hadn't been invited to any of it. And after a couple of months, he's like, I think they broke up with me. That's just, ooh, that's sticking
Yeah.
the knife in the back of your loneliness.
Yeah, it's so important. For this generation to have a strong support network to fall back on. I mean, for everyone, but I think especially with a loneliness generation, like to have, do you ha feel like you have a strong support network, not just like your family, but with your friends?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I think that now that I'm in college, it's super important to build a support system that you can access on a daily basis that isn't, you know, like your parents anymore. And I mean, some of my friends have literally moved from halfway across the world. So we've kind of had to become each other's family. And I think I'm super lucky to have these awesome friends I know I can count on, even if, of course, it'll never be the same type of relationship that I get from, say, my parents. But for example, one of my roommates right now, we are very big on hugs, and she says that she needs, you know, like 7.5 minutes of hugs per day. So sometimes we like
Wow.
we'll wake up and then we'll cuddle for a little bit and then we'll start our days.
Oh, well,
That's
you're so
very sweet.
lucky.
But
Yeah, you're so lucky.
I'm glad she's not trying to get those hugs for me. 'Cause I'm not a
I am. Okay, so let's talk about
hugger.
another issue.
I know.
Communication skills. Back to that. My friend told me that her daughter, who just went away to college, is having a hard time setting boundaries with her new roommate, in her dorm room. And she's getting more and more frustrated. And her mom is worried that one day she's going to snap.
Oh, wow. Yeah, this is clearly a situation where a courageous conversation needs to take place.
Yep.
Yep. And you know, we say that a conversation is courageous because it's one you don't want to have. And believe me, I hate having them too, by the way. That is not just linked to Gen Z. That's linked to everybody. I know I have trouble with them, but I'm getting better. Only because, you know, I'm trying to practice what I preach. And, you know, but I've been so programmed my whole life that you don't have them. You just bury your real feelings until you explode. I wish that, you know, I had been taught to have them earlier. I wish that I wish even now that I was still better at them. I don't know, Ali, is this something that you feel your generation struggles with as much as our generation has?
I don't really know. I think that I haven't been in enough professional context to really be faced with them. But generally, I do agree that no matter the situation or the generation, it can be really scary. I think that I was lucky enough to get some education on courageous conversations with you, Rhonda, in an earlier time.
I remember. Ali was my intern at one point.
It was awesome. We had a courageous conversation workshop, I remember.
Wow.
And
she was a star.
She was the star.
Yes.
That's so cute. But so I feel like I definitely have professional email etiquette down, and already that took me a while. But even when it comes to somewhat confrontational conversations, I still really hesitate with my wording, because I think there's such a big gap, not only between the way we address like other teenagers versus adults, but also in the authority we know we need to show them.
Yeah, the authority is a big thing. We hear a lot that they feel like they don't know how to show it the right way, which is so interesting.
Yeah, and I think literally every Gen Z is scared of having adults yell at them. And I think that like some boomers, which is not you guys, don't worry, but some boomers might say that it's because like we're more sensitive, or they'll say that we're snowflakes, but I think it's just a generally uncomfortable feeling that Gen Z is kind of now shining light on, because I feel like it's been normalized in the past under the guise of authority, but no one wants to be yelled at, you know?
Right.
Oh, wow. You know what? I use the word snowflake, Ali, and I never realized how derogatory and really just like judgmental it is. I'm going to really pay attention to that now. You're not a snowflake. You know?
and the boomers, you know, our parents were the because we said so generation. You know, we were all taught not to question. We weren't allowed to question anything, where our generation didn't want to be like that. But we struggle to find the right balance. So interacting can be hard. Where are the boundaries when it comes to, you know, working and living together?
Yeah, I would say boundary setting is the root cause of all of this. You know, that's something I learned after I had my child, is that boundaries are something only I can set for myself. Boundaries are something only we can set for ourselves. And because nobody else is going to set it for us, they're going to let us work as much as we are. They'll just keep letting us work and work and work until we just kind of fall over. And honestly, even now I deal with older generations who still have not learned this lesson.
Well, honestly, I feel like Gen Z's good at setting boundaries. I hear a lot of this is my safe space. And I don't know, it seems like this is one of Gen Z's strengths.
Yeah, I don't necessarily agree with that. I mean, I do agree with you that they're really good at telling us what they need, but they cross my boundaries all the time. You know, true. I'm sorry. They give me this really personal information, or they tell me things about myself that cross some boundaries too. You know, I'm like, okay, was that really necessary? Or this is just a super mundane anecdote. My sister, who's like a director at a company, she had an employee tell her that he came in like an hour late because he stayed up all night playing video games and couldn't get up in the morning. He thought that was perfectly acceptable, where for me, that's perfectly unprofessional.
Well, I think I agree that it's hard for us to find the line, because I mean, as we were growing up, everything is shared online. I mean, yeah, I see people who post some like wildly personal things online, and I'm like, Do you know that everyone can see this now about you? Like, but so.
And forever, Allie, forever.
Yeah, seriously, that too. But so that division between what is supposed to be public and what's supposed to be private, I think is definitely more ambiguous than in the past.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. Also, to link it back to what we were saying earlier about mentorship and connection, I feel like it's hard for me to imagine developing a mentorship relationship in which no personal information is shared. Because I think that that's how Gen Z like gets close to people. It's kind of by crossing the lines of what's traditionally professional, not just to cross it for like the sake of crossing it, but because to me, remaining entirely professional kind of means like erasing emotion and sensitivity and what makes us more unique. And so I feel like when we want to share, we're kind of bridging that gap.
So yeah. Saying that I stayed up all night playing video games is just a way to connect more and to...
Too much honesty.
It's like not, and I'm just not opening myself up enough to really kind of, I mean, I kind of see your point, Allie. I gotta say, I didn't think of it that way.
Yeah, I think it's about being more human and mm-hmm. just kind of like allowing the personality to shine through as well.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, I think we're navigating the balance between like bridging the gap with other generations and professional settings while kind of softening how we usually act between each other.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, I agree that setting boundaries is super important and that it's not always a given, even if Gen Z, I think, is notoriously good at it.
Yeah.
I think it's so important to not feel lonely, like we're saying with the epidemic, but while still finding the time to be alone and also knowing when to recharge your batteries, especially when we're confronted with such a time of like information overload all the time, 24/7.
Wow, Allie, honestly, I'm amazed at how advanced and sensitive you are about this subject in one way, and the other way, it just confirms everything I've always known about you. It's true. You know, again, this generation, people, they are going to help us, but we got to help them too. We're in it together. So let's always remember how important it is to recharge your batteries and that we should be heard, mentored, and appreciated for who you are. And thank you so much for reminding us that you really brought that back to the universality and need of human connection in such a beautiful way.
Yeah. And everyone listening. So we're out of time, but it's been a pleasure having you, Allie, and sharing, and thank you for sharing your perspective with us.
Well, thank you guys so much for having me. It was really a pleasure, and I really appreciate you guys taking the time to discuss and delve into Gen Z, because you're right that we might feel dismissed or misunderstood sometimes, and that just separates us further from other generations. So I really loved knowing the fact that you guys are trying to bridge that gap. And I definitely learned a lot.
Thank you. Hey,
we love your generation. We really do. Thank you so much, Allie. Bye.
Thank you. Bye.
That's it for this episode. Please find this podcast on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. And if you like what you hear, please follow or subscribe and tell your friends.
Please send us your stories about teens, funny, sad, inspiring, to info@thebeaconoflight.com. We would love to hear them, and we'd love to hear from you. Also, please check out the show notes for each episode, where you will find links to our sources and other information.
Bye.
Bye.